This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right. Welcome to another Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Very excited today for a couple of reasons. Number one is I've been wanting to get Arash Markazi on. Met him through different Super Bowls. Think his content and stuff is very unique. And we love unique guys, independents and innovators. And that's what Arash Markazi is. And I actually think this is the first time we've done a podcast from someone in Hawaii. So that's actually another first. And so I'm jealous. We didn't have it in the budget or me the time for me to fly out there to do it in person. But that would have been my preference. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. What a pleasure.
You know, I think your business model is brilliant. Live in Southern California. I live in San Diego. Live in Southern California and create a business model where you have Hawaii and Las Vegas to cover. That's a pretty good thing. I had a friend of mine who used to run Coca-Cola, and he'd have a big part region of the Southwest and Southern California, but he also had Hawaii, and it was amazing how much labor unrest and trouble he had in Hawaii, where he had to spend half his time in Hawaii.
No, it's really incredible, you know, because I think some people are curious why, and it's the regional footprint of a lot of sports teams. And again, I'll give you an example. You know, I checked into the hotel here, turned on the TV. You have Spectrum Sportsnet, you got Bally Sports West. So again, you know, if the Lakers are playing, if the Dodgers are playing, they are on in Hawaii and in Las Vegas. So that footprint is obviously a great place to live, a great place to travel. So if you can make your work, as you know, something that you love, something that you're passionate about, and in locations that you want to be in, it's the best of like all worlds. So yes, I'm in Hawaii now, split time between Southern California and Las Vegas. So it's really a fun time.
That's pretty ideal. I'm jealous. Like I said, I got to figure out that model, but I got too many kids in school, although yeah, they're exactly. Summertime now, et cetera. So your footprint here, let's talk about it. What we have in common besides living here is let's talk about the Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about the whole Charger situation and the Jim Harbaugh hire, et cetera?
I was so happy when this thing finally happened because I covered Jim during the run towards the national championship at the Rose Bowl, and I went to the college football playoff championship game. And so I got to really, for the first time, cover him pretty extensively in terms of going to those practices and talking to him at the press conferences. And what he does is he changes the culture. And when you look at the track record of the University of San Diego, as you know, but then you take it to Stanford, you take it to San Francisco, where he really took over a program, a team that had not done a thing for close to 10 years, took them to the Super Bowl, and how quickly it happened too. So now he takes over a team with the Chargers, who for years have had a very talented team on paper, but have not been able to get the most from that talent. And he takes over a quarterback, or he's going to be working with a quarterback that we all know the skill set there. And so I can't imagine that they're not going to have some success. Now, how quickly that success happens, we'll see. But as you know, like they're moving into a brand new, beautiful training facility right in the South Bay, not far from me. So I'm very excited. Again, both teams in Los Angeles, we're in Agoura Hills or Thousand Oaks in Costa Mesa. You couldn't get more further north and south than these two teams. So the Chargers are now in Los Angeles County, in the South Bay. Beautiful facility, how that helps them. Listen, like, as you know, like, if you're not in a makeshift training facility, I think that that should help. So very excited for what the Chargers are going to do. And I have no doubt that Jim Harbaugh will lead this team to the postseason. I just don't know if it's in year one or in year two, but it will happen very quickly.
Well, you know, Jim, first of all, Jim still has a home in San Diego.
Okay.
In Coronado. And I hear his actual first interview with the Chargers was actually in San Diego, which is interesting, right? But what have you. And it happened very quickly. But Jim played for the Chargers when I was the head team physician. Yeah. I still remember some stories. And the one is, when he was playing, we used to ask him, what are you going to do when you're done, right? He goes, yeah, football's in my blood. He said he would be an NFL referee.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And now he's like this head coach everywhere. But he's the only head coach that I can think of that really hasn't been a coordinator, because he's such a good leader. He hasn't needed that. He had a quarterback's coach 1 year in Oakland for the Raiders. Then he was at University of San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. Then Stanford, then San Francisco. So the other thing that I want to ask you is, if Jim can be successful, and I'm with you, I think Jim can be successful. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh fan. We've talked on this podcast with Vaughn Parker and one of his old right tackles. We talked about some Jim Harbaugh stories where he talked about a little halftime fisticuffs with a teammate. Jim's fiery, right? Which is awesome. Oh, yeah. And I think he will be successful. If Jim is successful, and I think he will be, does it change the young genius coach hiring cycle, which has been Sean McVay and whoever else knows Sean McVay and all the next young genius coordinator? I mean, Jim's 60. Jim's older than I am. And, you know, the older coaches have had a hard time getting hired, right? It's not been the retreads. Obviously, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, blah, blah, blah. But even Mike Vrabel's on the sideline right now. And I'm not calling Mike Vrabel old, but if Jim can be successful, does it change that narrative, you think?
A little bit, but here's the thing. I mean, the joke in Los Angeles was that if you just had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, you're probably going to get a job somewhere. I mean, my favorite was when Cliff Kingsbury got the job with the Cardinals. Like, he had never officially been on Sean McVay's staff, but I think he was a consultant. But then you go down the list of, like, Brandon Staley, of course. So it may change it, but I think Jim Harbaugh is so unique, where you're bringing in a coach who just won a national championship, but his track record, again, he's not one of those, you know, can this work? We've seen it work. We saw what he did in San Francisco. So it's not like you're bringing in a first-year, you know, college coach and trying to make him a success in the pros. He's done it before. So I think Jim's unique, but I think you bring up a good point. You know, like, you want someone to walk in through the door that the team's going to respect, that has some bit of a track record, whether it's as a coordinator, whether as a player. With Staley, and I think that they liked Staley. I think that they respected the fact that he went for it. But, you know, consistently, that was the thing that I heard. You know, when you don't have the results on the field, when your season comes to an end the way that it did in Las Vegas, and some of the players did blame him for that, and you go down to, you know, how that historic comeback in Jacksonville, you lose that trust. And I remember being in the press box in Las Vegas when they got blown out, and I said, I don't think he can survive this. And he obviously did not. So it could change things, but I do think Harbaugh is so unique, where he's just not like an experienced coach. He's an experienced coach with a track record that, again, kudos to the Chargers for doing something that they have not historically done. They said, this is the best coach available, and we are going to pay for him. And again, no knock on the Chargers for previously not doing that, but that was sort of the feeling. You know, will the Chargers do this? Will they essentially give this man a blank check and say, hey, let's go for it. Like let's see if we can win this thing. And they did. And the reason that I think that they're going to have success is that track record. I think it is very hard for Harbaugh not to walk through that door and for you to respect what he's done.
No question. And, you know, off the record, look, I'm not a reporter, right? I'm an injury analyst, so I don't get into that world. But I did hear the Jim Harbaugh rumors from other people even before that fateful Vegas game, that this may be where they're headed. And it does make sense. So I think it's a great hire. Kudos to the Chargers for doing this. And here's the other thing. I mean, I know there was lots of rumors about the Chargers and Sean Payton before and Bill Belichick even, but like, Jim's the kind of guy, he's going to do it his way, but he'll also work with you, right? Yeah. I mean, so he'll, and he knows the previous ownership. He knows John Spanos very well from his time before. So I do think we're excited about this. I'm excited about the Bolts here. What about the Lakers? Did they really want Hurley and get turned down, or was that the strongest offer, or were they just testing the waters, and what's happening there? Or does it matter because is LeBron the coach?
Well, that's a great point. And by the way, this is another franchise. And again, so when I say no knock on the Chargers, the Lakers historically have never paid big bucks for a head coach. And again, Phil Jackson is really the only coach that they've like basically given a blank check to. And they were in a similar position that the Chargers were in. We're saying, we got Kobe and Shaq. We got the talent. Let's go get a coach that can win us a title. The Hurley thing made no sense to me because at no point in time during this coaching process did Hurley's name come up until the Thursday before game one of the finals. And that courtship lasted 4 days. And I don't know who this didn't help the Lakers. He goes on a media tour. His wife goes on a media tour basically saying how much we love Connecticut. Look what we've built here. And I said, why did the Lakers do this? And so, we won't know until they make the coaching hire. And I don't even know if then Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss will be transparent in saying, what was the whole Hurley thing about? Again, you had all this time. J.J. Redick was the coach that they apparently wanted. They kind of view him as a future coaching star. And if that's the case, fine. What I don't know is that this reminds me of, to your previous question, that young coach coming through the door. And again, he's not even 40 yet. He will be this month at the end of the month, but like he just played. So JJ's walking through that door, never been an assistant coach, never coached a day in his life. Like, will he have the respect of the team? And again, by the way, has also never won a title before. Like at least if he had won a title, like as a player, like, okay, like I've been there before. I don't know how he coaches LeBron, their peers. They do that podcast together, which I think is great. But the Hurley question is so fascinating to me because I did not believe Hurley would leave. This was a little bit like Coach K 20 years ago where Phil leaves, they go after Coach K. I believe that was genuine. The Hurley thing made no sense. So J.J. Redick, I think at some point we'll get the job, but that's another unique situation where you have a first-year head coach walking into a situation which you were joking, but I think you're right. LeBron is the quasi-head coach of this team. And then why not just make him that? Like, I know it would be weird, but we've seen it before in league history. Maybe for a year or two, make LeBron the player coach because that's essentially what he will be.
And a little bit GM, because is there any doubt his son is going to be on the Lakers?
No doubt about that. I mean, I was talking to someone about that. I mean, they are denying workouts with teams around the league, which is crazy to me. I went to USC. I covered USC. So I've seen his entire career. First of all, thank God that he's alive and well, and you can speak to this more than I can. So at that point, I was just happy that he was here. And then listen, he was not as bad as these stats say. Again, he's not a scorer. He's more of a role player, more of a glue guy, more of a defensive guy. So no problem there, but he would be a player that, quite frankly, if he was not LeBron James' son, would not be in the draft. There would be no reason why he should be in the draft this year. So the fact that he's denying workouts is essentially their way of saying, we want to play for the Lakers. Now, the question at that point is, do they use the first-round pick on him? Do they use the second-round pick on him? Do they just sign him once the draft is done? I think he will get drafted. Would rather the Lakers obviously not use a first-round pick on him. Maybe their last pick in the second round. But no, like that's GM LeBron. He's going to play with his son.
Why wouldn't a team draft Bronny?
It's a good question. Yeah, I mean, they could
wait for the trade.
Well, and you saw that first happen in a more high-profile way with the Chargers, where, you know, Eli didn't want to go to San Diego. With Bronny, there's not a big, like, cup side, because unless you think you have a chance to sign LeBron James, you're drafting a player that, quite frankly, should not be in the draft. So
you're drafting him to wait for the trade offer, right?
Exactly. So it's not a bad suggestion. I would not recommend a team do that in the first round. But the thing is, this is a very weak class, you know, just on paper, and it could prove to be wrong. So if you're going to make he wouldn't go in the top 15 picks. But if you're going to swing and say, hey, let's just draft Bronny and let's wait for the call from the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, if you really want him, maybe trade us a future first round pick.
Well, let me tell you, you bring this up and like I never script podcasts. We don't prepare to chat and have fun, right? I was actually in the room when it happened. Eli Manning. Admittedly, okay, those days it wasn't stadium seating. It was a big, what I call dinner table, and the GM, assistant GM, head coach, ownership, whatever, and the head athletic trainer and I were the little kids table in the corner at Thanksgiving, right? A little round table in the corner. But we were in the room when it happened, and there was a lot of discussion there. You know, Robert Gallery's in that. Do we draft Eli? Clearly he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And A.J. Smith, God bless his soul, former GM who just passed away. Yeah. Love A.J. Prayers out to him and his family, et cetera. Just passed away. But he was the ultimate poker player and gunslinger. And, of course, they had spoken to the Giants. And, of course, there were deals proposed. But they knew the Giants wanted Eli. We knew we wanted Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
And we didn't want Eli. We wanted Phillip Rivers. And we had coached him in the bowl game, the senior bowl game. Our staff had coached him. We wanted Phillip Rivers. A.J. Smith, I can tell you, from my perspective, in the room, but from the kids' table in the corner, okay?
Yeah.
Drafted Eli knowing full well that Eli didn't want to come here and we weren't going to sign him. He was playing chicken with the Giants. And my evidence is when the Giants picked Phillip Rivers, there was a cheer in the room at the adult table, and then our phone immediately rang. Basically, let's do the deal that we talked about. The Giants, from my perspective, might have blinked or played the game all the way to the end. So yeah, I mean, it's been done. At least that's my kids table perspective in the room there.
I love it.
Let's talk a little bit of baseball. My Padres are all banged up, but now the Dodgers are all banged up. The Padres are banged up. Manny's still not right with his hamstring, not playing well. Obviously Musgrove and Darvish and you know, Profar was out a little bit, and obviously Bogarts is out. But now the Dodgers, Mookie Betts breaks his hand. I think this is a big deal, Mookie Betts breaking his hand, not only because he's Mookie Betts, but the good news is no surgery. The bad news is bottom hand, power hand, and where he was hit, your grip is mostly your fourth and fifth fingers, not your – and the fractures at the base of the fourth and fifth. Power hand. He's going to be out a little while here, but even longer, Yamamoto, triceps soreness. And by the way, the triceps is not part of the rotator cuff. All of a sudden becomes rotator cuff strain. Yeah. And as you know, strain is a partial tear. I mean, he's 60 days at least. The good news is Betts beats him back, but not by that much. The Dodgers, are they in trouble now? Do they need to trade, or they've got a big lead in the division and they just ride it out?
By the way, so like this is great, because like that would have been my question to you. So now I got a little bit of perspective there. The Dodgers, the example that they like is last year, Corey Seager breaks his hand around the same time, comes back late September, goes on an absolute tear. Again, the Texas wins the World Series. He's World Series most valuable player. I mean, that's how they're hoping things works out with Betts. With Yamamoto, definitely concerned there. But both of these guys, I mean, if the Dodgers are to win a World Series, both of these players will have to be a big part of that. Even prior to this, though, they've been a 500 team for the past month, so they've been struggling. And now, like over the next 2 months, they got to figure things out. good news for them, I guess two things. Number one, they got some time here. So, you know, we're not talking in September. If this was September, you know, probably no chance to win the World Series. They have time, and this is before the trade deadline. And this is a team that is always open for business, and they got great prospects. So I would fully expect them to make a move. On the pitching front, at least Clayton Kershaw will come back. They have players who will come back. But, yeah, I mean, Betts is like, that's the big concern. Like, when that happened, I think that there was sort of this feeling of, okay, like, how long is he going to be out for? Will it require surgery? The fact that it won't, I think, is good news. But to your point, where he broke his hand, I think that's the concern there. So the talent's there for the Dodgers, as you know, and as Padre fans know, and I was in San Diego when they lost the division series. The last 2 years, they have lost in the division series to a team that they finished 10 games or more in front of in the division. So as good as this season is, there is no Dodgers fan that cares if this team wins 100 games and wins the division. It is all about what happens in October.
Yeah, and you know, between the two injuries, Yamamoto and Mookie Betts will be back this season. Yeah. It's a matter of when. I don't think it's going to be in 4 weeks. The question is, can he stay off of 60-day IL, right? I mean, or do the Dodgers carry him because he might be back at 40 or 50 days, you know, because he's that big of a piece of their puzzle. Yamamoto's the bigger question. Never like rotator cuff injuries in pitchers. Now, was it because he pitched 100-plus pitches at high velocity recently that might make people more analytics people and say, look, you can't do that? But yeah, rotator cuff and a pitcher, no bueno. Like, no, I don't – I'll bet money that Betts is back this season and back before Yamamoto. Yamamoto is the one that could last longer. You know, yeah. We've seen that before in pitchers because – you don't want to mess with the rotator cuff, and you don't want to mess with the omoplatal ligament, the Tommy John. Those are the money makers for a pitcher there. All right. So I know you follow everything, and that's one of the things that I love about you. It's not just pure sports, and you have this great business model in this great region. And I'll let you tell everyone about it. But give me your – I saw your tweets on Stephen A. Smith. Give me your – see, I know there's more to it. I know you. I was reading between the lines of the tweet. Your laughter tells it all. Have at it. Give us your full take on it.
I think it's hilarious. But at some point, like, are we going to do this joke before every single game? And again, the tweet you're referring to is that they shot Stephen A. Smith walking into the arena as if he's a player about to play game 7 of the finals, where he's adjusting his glasses, taking a deep breath, very, you know, here we go. And it's like, you're a commentator at the end of the day. And that's like, that's amazing. I mean, like, he is killing it at what he does. He does it so well. Why are we shooting him? And again, like, if it's a joke, you do the joke once. But they've done this before every game that he's called. I just think it's hilarious. I think it's just, it's more of a joke. Like, I don't think it's, you know, like anything bad, but like, come on. Like, does he really believe he's the game? You know, does he really think we all care what he's wearing?
Well, I mean, that look, I couldn't wear that suit, but
you know, exactly. Yeah.
Off. I mean, whatever, but it wasn't just someone shooting him walking in. It was someone shooting someone who was shooting him.
That's a good point. Yes, it was.
In, right?
That's,
I mean, right. It wasn't just Cameron Stephen A. It was someone shooting Stephen A. Smith coming in. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was hoping for a close-up of his six-inch screw in his knee.
He had that. He had that step, right, Doctor? Like, in terms of, like, obviously, you know, he's had some surgeries in the past.
Well, you know, look, Stephen A. Smith, unbelievable, right? I'm not hating on him. And I get speaking in hyperbole. So I'm not going down the road of Jason Whitlock calling him liar, this, that, the other, but your patella isn't 6 inches long. So you don't have to screw it in there, right? Yeah. Was it 6 centimeters and he misspoke, or was it just hyperbole? My fish I caught was this big. It's fine. But I think it's all funny, the personalities and everything. So final thing, do you believe Charles Barkley is done after this season and not broadcasting?
I don't think so. Listen, what he does in that space, like, no one can do what he does in terms of essentially put a microphone in front of Chuck and people will listen. So whether it's for Turner, whether it's for someone else, he's saying this now, but again, he's got one more year left on the Turner deal. The games will be back on Turner next season. I think that's the end of their run, sadly, but listen, there will be a network out there. I mean, look at what Pat McAfee is making. Look at what some of these other guys are making. Stephen A. Smith, our good friend, when his contract is up, look at that number. Chuck is going to get a number in that ballpark to essentially give us his opinion. So I don't foresee a scenario where a year from now, when he's available to work at either NBC or somewhere else, that he's not going to take that. Again, whether it's once a week, like every like other day, they're going to make it convenient for him to do what he does best. And so again, he announced his retirement effective next year. I don't think he's retiring.
Well, I really appreciate it. I admire what you're doing. And like I said, independents and innovators, and you are definitely that. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy the work in Hawaii. We'll come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
After a quick break, to the rest of the usual Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. All right, welcome back to part two of the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Thanks for Harash Markazi for coming on from Hawaii there. He's such a nice guy. I've always liked him. He's doing a lot of good things there. And I find it ironic that he's in Hawaii and we had some technical difficulties and I couldn't use the headphones, but you and I are now in the same room and we have headphones on.
Yes.
I don't know what you're trying to do there.
I'm not doing good at my job, I think is the key part, maybe.
The bottom line is we're now on headphones, but we just in the same room, I'm in the same spot when we just had Arash on. Anyways, what else we got out there in the world there? I actually watched some golf, Bryson DeChambeau at the end there.
How do you feel about that? So Rory, again, kind of collapsing a little bit. Got a feel for him.
I don't know. I'm for Max Chaos. So here's a live golfer winning it. And I'm for Max Chaos. And it was good. It was interesting. Let me tell you, though, as I was watching it, I don't dislike Rory, but I was like, he's going to miss this putt. I mean, he punched at
it. Yeah.
I mean, but I get the pressure, man. It's a lot of pressure.
I don't know. There's a number, like last like 150 plus putts he's hit, and the ones he's missed.
I remember within 3 feet, he had 496.
Yeah, it was something insane. Yeah.
But he missed that one. I mean, That seems amazing that you would hit that many like that.
And in that moment, you know.
Miss it. But it's a lot of pressure. Anyways.
So, yeah, obviously.
I didn't see what Tiger did. Did he?
Tiger was like a plus 4 or 5 in the first couple of days. I think he may have missed the cut. Yeah, he wasn't that close. Yeah.
But good Father's Day. How about yourself?
I had a good one. I just, my little one was off in a different state up in San Jose. So it was a Father's Day to myself in a way.
Different state.
Different city. Excuse me. Yes. San Jose, California. Yes, my fault. Yeah. Okay. Yes, right up north. Just to dive in, Doc, obviously football a little slow. You know, there's a little stuff, obviously, with Richardson with his soreness, and we obviously catching up on different teams and their injuries. Baseball is obviously in full swing. You talked about the Dodgers' injuries. Those are going to be key. Do you remember the stuff we talked about with Fezzik, and he brought up on the Ross Tucker podcast about, like, ways to attack that? Would a good thing would be to maybe go under on the Dodgers' win total with all the stuff that might not get better until later, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the totals are, but certainly Mookie's going to be out for 6 weeks, at least power hand that mm-hmm. we talked about, Yamamoto at least that or longer, so we'll see about that. I mean, I'm not the betting markets guy, yeah. But of course there's downstream stuff, but everyone was celebrating the Padres after the Oakland A's sweep,
and yeah.
They still have fundamental issues, man. He's not healthy, no Bogarts, Musgrove, Darvish, Profar came back.
But hey, I mean, he's not the same, yeah. I mean, it's patchwork team, yeah.
That's a lot right now in terms of injuries there.
There's a Braves are dealing with issues, obviously, with Acuna. Their other outfielder, Michael Harris, the second, has a hamstring. He's a big speed guy, so obviously he's already on IL already. That's going to be an issue.
Remember we talked about NL MVP and it was Otani and Betts. I was like, they're going to split the vote.
That was before the season. That was when we were talking about Acuna and his meniscus issue. Yeah.
We were fading Acuna and his meniscus issue, fading Otani and Betts because they're going to steal votes from each other.
Right.
Now, Betts is out. Mm-hmm. But Freeman's climbing, so yep. Freeman may be the
you got Ohtani at plus 180 at FanDuel, yeah. I believe.
That's
yeah.
why. Yeah. And Tatis has not had the best year so far, but he's surging a little bit now. Tatis we liked, and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is number two now on the
second year off the UCL injury he had. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he should be fine there. So we'll see what happens.
One of the markets we also talked about that was shifted was the Cy Young in the AL. Garrett Cole is now in his second. He just had a second rehab start. You would expect him probably to be back after the All-Star break, right? He's just continuing his ramp up. Big tournament right now, Doc, is the Euros. Big one. I remember calling you about this years in the past when Christian Eriksen had his heart issue on the field. He did score in his first game back in the Euros, which is huge.
I remember when that happened, and it was great. You know, the AED saving his life, and everyone's like, he's done. I remember saying, he's not necessarily done. Depends on the reason for the arrhythmia. And people were saying, well, if he has a pacemaker, he's disallowed. He's disallowed from that Italian league.
Yes, he had to move to a different club because of that issue.
Right,
yes,
but he's not disallowed from all of soccer.
Right.
We've had players before play, and it's good to see that he's healthy back and scored. I mean, that was obviously super scary. And we touched on with Arash, Ronnie a little bit.
Yes.
About his heart issue and collapse. So good on the medical professionals that were there to save him. And look at them. They're all back playing, which is pretty cool.
Do you think, like, anytime like a heart thing comes up, there's always that push that, like, he needs to be thinking about himself first, not his career, right? So there's always, like,
I would argue that should always be the push.
Yeah.
Think about yourself and what you want, you know, whether you're a football player and wear and tear or whatever. I mean, heart issues, of course. I mean, that's where I said all along on our guy DeMar Hamlin that I believed he would be able to return to play, but is it in his best interest mentally, otherwise, physically? And look, I don't know. I mean, he was a starter when he was injured, but that was a little bit due to roster. He didn't play much last year.
No. Special teams tackle, yeah, that's it.
Does he even make the Bills this year? It's a question.
So I guess a question for you is that if he gets cut from the Bills, does that mean his health care is also cut, or is he continually getting help? Because I guess that's what maybe keep him on the team to get that benefits. But because like you said, from like a team standpoint, he's not really helping, right? You know, the roster.
I mean, there's no way that Bills could get him last year.
Right.
This year they could. The health benefits, if he's got health issues tied to the injury suffered on the football field,
okay,
through work comp, he could get continuing care. But in terms of everyday health insurance, in case he gets the big C or hits by a car, no, that would be Cobra or wherever. But that's assuming he doesn't land somewhere else, right?
Right, right.
He could land somewhere else. But no, I don't know. I mean, glad that he proved that he could return to the NFL. We'll see what happens. I'm not saying that he won't make the team or whatever, but I'm just saying that it's good to see these athletes return.
So obviously this could potentially be the final game in the finals. Don't want to spend too much time on this due to the, you know, the airing of this podcast. But just a final take on Porzingis, Doc. He went against everybody in social media and all the other doctors that chimed in. What are your final thoughts?
You know what's so funny about that? I probably made a mistake. The Celtics spelled out what he had, and they used big fancy words, and national media and NBA reporters were saying, I don't know what this means, and I've asked other doctors, they don't know what this means. Sports Injury Central, I've dealt with this before. We have basketball doctors and staff. Yes, it's unusual. Yes, it's rare, but we've treated this before. This is why we say Porzingis is not playing the rest of the finals, and that he's out because of the game of basketball. So I saw a lot of chatter on social media saying, well, he's walking around, he doesn't have a boot on. Here he is, comes into the stadium, he's doing shoot around. And I quote tweeted our articles and our take and said, certainly it's possible for him. He's 7 feet tall. It's possible for him to stand out the three-point line and get off a three-point shot, but he's not gonna play. And people are like, oh, you're backtracking and covering yourself. You must have looked at what all the other doctors say.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't have time to look at what other guys say. And I don't delete tweets. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. Look, we've had freezing cold takes, old takes exposed here on the podcast before. When they said, look, you know, you're bookmarked this, you're going to be wrong, you're backtracking. I tagged old takes.
Right, just make takes, sure here.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. We'll take it. Okay, he's in uniform. Okay, he's in uniform, but what does that mean? I mean, bottom line is, and I maybe should have phrased it differently from the beginning, it may sound like I was backtracking. He's not playing as Kristaps Porzingis the rest of these finals. A couple extra days of rest isn't going to do anything. His backup center talked about it.
Right.
He's essentially the same. He's not.
He's uncomfortable during workouts, what he looked like, is what this player, yeah.
Yeah, and he's 7 feet, and you see him shooting, and okay, he can play. That's not the game of basketball, playing defense and going both ways. He's not playing. Now, is there an inbound situation where they need a seven-footer guarding the inbounder from a downfield throw that you could put him in with 2 seconds left and a half for a game? There is. Is there a situation where you could put him out at the three-point line to draw their center out or for a scheme and get off a three-point shot? There is. Is he going to play in the traditional sense? No.
Right.
Maybe he's still going to be on the bench in uniform. Look, I'm still saying there's going to be an announcement for surgery at the end of the finals to fix the retinaculum sheath. And by the way, yes, the medial retinaculum, if you Google it, it's in the knee. But there's also one in the ankle. I don't know. This is, I guess, what we do, injury analysis. This one was super easy. We didn't have to go off a video and figure it out.
You had a textbook definition. Yeah.
Specifically,
yes,
what he had. And we've talked about before the difference between the similarities and differences of this in another Boston superstar, Curt Schilling.
Right.
The bloody sock. Similar but different.
I think your big calling card and just our whole site is that we've seen it before. You had people like Brian Windhorst on ESPN saying it's rare, we've never seen it. That's the big thing at sixscore.com. We've seen it, right?
I don't expect Brian Windhorst to have seen it.
Right.
And he shouldn't have.
Right.
Look, and the other thing is, I feel like, yes, I know, it's Pro Football Doc. What do you know about basketball? A, we have basketball guys on staff, former Bulls head team position, but also I covered some basketball, not to the extent of the NFL. This is where I don't try and say I'm this basketball guy. But let me tell you something, Taylor. In an average NFL week,
you see as many injuries as an NBA medical staff sees in a season.
That's huge.
In 1 week, you see as many as the average guy sees in a season. Football is just more players, collision sport, more. Yeah, it's rare. I don't have an NBA example of a posterior tip tendon dislocation,
right.
But I have other sports, including NFL examples, and you can extrapolate back to basketball in terms of what it is. So I think that's some of the thing. And we talked about it last week that people are surprised that NBA team doctors don't travel until the playoffs, regular season. NFL, you travel three doctors to every game. Mm-hmm. It's just a fundamental difference there.
So that's big. Then obviously, final could be the final game. But thank you for that, Porzingis. Big personality on Twitter that needed your take on his injury.
I don't know.
You gave him a good take. McAfee dealt with. He's got like hip injury. Doc, you could tell a little more. They have a big little amateur sock tournament. A lot of former players. JJ Watt's in it. A couple players. Yeah. Tell us about what he was dealing with.
Well, I love that. Right, I mean, he's awesome.
I think he loves us too, right? There's some mutual, yeah, absolutely. There,
I hope so. I mean, he's been on a couple times, whatever,
right?
I know he, anytime like McAfee says something, and my text messages and Twitter lights up because we go, oh, McAfee, because he's got such reach. I guess he saw my tweet saying that with all his bruising down his legs, it's going to get worse before it gets better,
right?
He's got a real deal injury of his hip flexor, maybe groin. And no, he wasn't just tapping out in his little soccer tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was injured. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I think he quoted that part. And so, yeah, we love McAfee. What I don't understand is how he does it. How does he have time to see my quote tweets or retweets?
Yeah.
He's got to have staff that tells him, right? I mean,
but still, and it's so quick, too. Like, the second that he does it, you're getting texts.
I'm amazed that he has, between all the stuff that he does, and he's playing in the soccer tournament and traveling around. He's got a
WWE stuff,
kid, and WWE, and yes, I get it. He goes PJ, private plane everywhere, but still,
he's got the stamina to do all that. Yeah,
it's got to be a staff, right? But I don't know. When I first got to know Adam Schefter, and way back in the day, he retweeted something I said about Tony Romo. And when I talked to him, I said, "So who runs your social media?" He goes, "I do." You don't have a helper like retweet me? Because no, everything is me. And to this day, we could do this experiment. I won't do it to Adam, quote, live on the podcast. If I text him right now, he'll overrun on his reply is 5 seconds.
I've seen you do it too. No, it's this is not,
mind blowing. I can't keep up on everyday life. I try and respond to Twitter when I can, but it's very hit and miss when I can or get there.
I was always super amazed at how they do it, especially like the ones we see, like the ones he shoots at night, on like a weekend. Like, what is it? He has family and stuff. But like, once I realized what scheduled tweets were, I'm like, those guys are the masters of that stuff, preemptively writing all the, the roster moves and stuff. Like, they're, it's a different,
I don't know how to schedule.
Yeah.
You see a tweet that's from 3 a.m. It's because I woke up and went to the bathroom and fell back to sleep or something. I mean, I don't schedule tweets. I don't know how to schedule tweets.
That's all I had. This one of your things I saw on Twitter is what are your comments on Tony Jefferson signing with the Chargers, going out of retirement? You said the West Coast Ravens, right?
I should have asked Arash about that.
Yeah.
Look, which came first? Harbaugh with his brother and the Ravens influence, or Joe Ortiz, the GM that came from Baltimore?
Yeah.
So there's two ties there.
Yeah.
And it's been happening all the time before. I mean, John has sent staff to Jim at Michigan,
yep.
And Jim has sent staff from Michigan.
To Mike Baltimore. McDonald used to be.
It's great. Yeah. It's great, but it is Raven. I should ask them. I should do some pod prep. I don't do pod prep. I'm a bad interviewer.
You're off the cuff.
Arash run the pod interview. Yeah, it's Ravens West.
Mm-hmm.
The running backs, the GM, Tony Jefferson. There's others I'm forgetting. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
You say J.K. Dobbins, if you mentioned it.
Dobbins, yeah. And both running backs.
Oh, Gus Edwards. Yes, Gus correct. Edwards. Yeah, correct. Yes. Yeah. All right, Doc, that's all I got. Anything else you want to add? Or
No, all good. Post Father's Day, happy Father's Day. Got my anniversary tomorrow.
There you go.
Which reminds me.
You have it on record, yeah?
No. My tradition. John Spanos and I, John and Jody, got married on the same day by accident. And so we have a tradition of texting each other. So I got to text John.
There you go.
Reminder.
He is. I was going to say, you're his little reminder, too. Yes.
Anyways, happy Father's Day to everyone from yesterday, et cetera. I had a nice one. And thanks for watching. Give us a nice little 5-star deal here and subscribe on YouTube or Apple or wherever you get the stuff. That's it for the Sports Injury Central.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.